Resistance is an award-winning documentary that tells the story of two youths who have become global ambassadors for Palestinian human rights. The film is an intimate look at their everyday lives and roles as part of a new generation of Palestinian civil rights leaders. Again, that's Radiance of Resistance, Thursday, October 12th at 6 p.m. at McMenamin's Mission Theater, 1624 Northwest Gleason Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Cable Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of All the Rage, Thursday, October 12th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater in Portland. All the Rage is a documentary that explores the work of physician Dr. John Sarno and his radical methods to treating back pain. Through the interviews with Sarno, patients, and experts, the film offers a profound rethink of how we approach our health care. Again, that's All the Rage, Thursday, October 12th, 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Radiance of Resistance, Thursday, October 12th at 6 p.m. at McMenamin's Mission Theater in Portland. Radiance of Resistance is an award-winning documentary that tells the story of two youths who have become global ambassadors for Palestinian human rights. The film is an intimate look at their everyday lives and roles as part of a new generation of Palestinian civil rights leaders. Again, that's Radiance of Resistance, Thursday, October 12th at 6 p.m. at McMenamin's Mission Theater, 1624 Northwest Gleason Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Watch a weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Joining me for a brief peek behind the video veil of Monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know. I'm a little punchy this morning because I couldn't sleep well last night. I was a tad disturbed, and you're going to find out why. And I hope that you call in, because I want to hear how people react to this. The thing is, you need to see a photograph. Let me explain. Yesterday, I got a call about a protest, so I went out at the last minute to make a recording. It was really too much at the last minute. And I didn't make much of a recording. I didn't have the right equipment, but it didn't seem like a very high-profile incident. Just a couple of dozen people standing in or near the driveway of that obnoxious and terrifying ICE dungeon that I've talked about for years. It's situated at the intersection of Bancroft and McAdam Streets on the west side of Portland. A few of the protesters had linked their arms together with cylinders called sleeping dragons. I don't know why they're called that, but they've been a part of protest culture since the 90s at least. I think they were cooked up by the timber protesters, if I remember correctly. It's not guaranteed that I do, but anyway, these particular cylinders were made with plastic and duct tape. The Homeland Security police were there, as were the Portland police, and everyone but the lockdown protesters milled around fairly quietly in the afternoon sun. The protesters chanted their objection to the racist U.S. policy of targeting brown-skinned immigrants for expulsion from the country. And those chilly cell blocks inside the ICE prison aren't full of English-speaking Canadians and Australians and Irish. who sneak into the U.S. in considerable numbers. Now, they are, by and large, reserved for brown people. I was late for the news deadline. As I said, didn't have the right stuff with me, so I decided to leave to get started on preparing for this show. And I was chewing on some pizza with my sweetie when the news came in on social media that the Portland police had thrown hoods and sound-blocking earmuffs over the heads of the protesters. So this is what I mean by you have to see the pictures. If you've seen the pictures, you know that the scene has thus been rigged to appear for the cameras, as if it were an extension of Guantanamo Bay's infamous prison. There they are, hoods and earmuffs, chained up. Oh, yeah. So the police, as it turns out, had an excuse for this display. They said that they were protecting the ears and the eyes of the protesters from powered equipment that might make noise and sparks. Specially trained officers were required to use equipment that caused sparks. That's a direct quote from the PPD. The press release said that the hoods were to block sparks and the earmuffs were to protect from power equipment noise. Yeah, they were lying about that. The Sleeping Dragon cylinders were flimsy mock-ups, as the cops knew, because they had been around to check them out and see what they were made of. And they were feeling them and looking at them, and they knew what they were, and the equipment that was actually used for removal of the Sleeping Dragon cylinders consisted merely of a pair of tin snips. There were no power tools used. Snip, snip. For decades, nothing more than a hacksaw and a large bolt cutter has ever been necessary to remove the devices. It takes a little bit of time, which is why protesters use them. It's obvious, in retrospect, that the Portland police intended to terrorize the arrestees and the protest community with the image of protesters being treated as captured dangerous terrorists. The hoods and the ear protectors were, of course, originally designed to torture Gitmo detainees with sensory deprivation and disorientation while treating the real target of the abuse, the American public, to the idea that any resistance to empire would be subjected to inhuman cruelty. It was hard on the Guantanamo torture victims, to be sure, but the real idea was to scare me and you into conformity with the war effort and the corporate-owned government behind it. And yesterday, that lesson was brought home to Portland. The lesson is that dissent is now criminal in the United States of America, the same as it is in North Korea and China. It's no more Mr. Nice Guy for protesters. Not that we ever thought that it was. You know, we've been shot with beanbag guns, which are actually lead pellet bags, if you didn't know. Ain't no beanbags in there. I've been shot with pepper spray. We've been shot with tear gas canisters for all these years, and they never gave a damn if we got injured with that stuff. And so that image says that you can be whisked away. Yes, you. Disappeared and never seen again, like Chileans under the U.S.-sponsored fascism that exploded in that country on September 11th, 1973. And the Portland police have very carefully acted out their theatrical part. I'd be interested to know whether the Portland police came up with this stunt on their own, or whether it was the Joint Terrorism Task Force or some other federal agency. In any event, it works, versus at least a couple of target audiences. For Trump supporters, it's red meat, as the fascist mob cheers with glee to see hated dissenters humiliated and abused. For centrists, it's a big hint. They'd best not tilt to the left, as that is now considered criminal. And for the left, it's a direct threat intended to bring home the NDAA amendment passed under Obama that says anyone can be labeled a terrorist and a non-person and held indefinitely without recourse to habeas corpus. For now, it's an ugly gesture rather than a complete fascist takeover. The three protesters that were taken in were released last night, and no rational person is now pretending that they were ever dangerous to anyone. So I want to hear what you have to say about this. I want you to look at the photograph. And if you can't find the photograph right now, well, it's all over Twitter, it's all over Facebook, it's on other social media, I'm sure. I believe it's up on the local press. I think the Portland Mercury has a picture of it. And so just look at that, please. Just look at the, and you'll see just how set up it is. Again, I want to emphasize, this is a stunt. There's no doubt about it. This is theater. The Portland police are engaging in political theater. The protesters are hooded. They have the earmuffs on, and they're chained up. And they're sitting on the ground just like the infamous pictures of Guantanamo detainees. 503-231-8187. I'm frankly hoping that you will express your outrage, that you're not going to just take this. So I'm in favor of massive protests at the Portland ICE dungeon and wherever. The protest was intended to draw attention to the vicious and racist ICE policies, the detainment of Spanish-speaking people, the deportation of people who speak Spanish. And I want to talk about that for a minute, too, because that was the reason for the original protest. And the fact is, you can set up a protest. You can try to control what goes on, and you have a certain amount of control before you start the protest. But once you actually start things going, you don't know who's going to show up or what's going to happen. And frankly, the police hijacked this one. And they want to put their message out, their dual message. Their message, of course, as I was saying, yes, you're going to be treated as terrorists. And no, you can't say anything about it because we have an official lying excuse that we're really just looking after, you know, your safety. And that's a very cynical lie. And they know that people who want to believe, specifically white people, are going to look at that. In their whiteness, as I talk about a lot on this show, you know, whiteness is going to direct you to believe that the police were actually doing the right thing. Well, they're not. This is theater. It looks like Guantanamo because it's supposed to look like Guantanamo. But about the protest, it was about this policy of deporting people. And I have seen, even on the left, I've seen people say, well, look, we can't just have open borders. That's not what it's about. We opened our borders. We, this society, destroyed El Salvador, Guatemala, Mexico. We destroyed them with direct war. We destroyed them by a CIA-supported program that everyone's conveniently forgotten about, in which massive amounts of guns were shipped south. Destroyed the societies with NAFTA, which wiped out the ability to simply farm corn, maize, or whatever you wanted to farm, and then sell it for a decent price in the market. We forced people north, and then we offered jobs, and the deal was, and still is, if you can get here, if you don't die getting here, if you can sneak here, then we'll pay you a wage that is much better because of foreign exchange rates, simply because of the strength of the dollar. The wage is better here. You can take the wage back home and it transfers into, you know, what amounts to actual wealth. You can build yourself a house if you make it. A terrible bargain, but one that many millions of people have taken. And then we round on those people and say, oh, well, you're, you know, all the slurs. You're lazy. You're dirty. You're not like us. Get out. We'll force you out. You're criminals. No, we're the criminals. We crush their society. We force them north. We depend on them to build our roads, houses, buildings, all the things that are done, all the things that we the people do. And it's stupid, especially when it comes to getting crops picked. It's stupid to get rid of the people who make that happen. But that's where we're at. That's what's happening. That's why there was a protest at the Portland ICE dungeon. Speaking of political theater, there are large refrigeration units built on the top of that place at McAdam and Bancroft on the southwest side, intended to keep the temperature quite low in those cells, so the word will get around that it really is yellow. It really is ice in there, and it's terrible. And it produces, frankly, exposure symptoms. It's torture. Number to call, 503-231-8187. Again, the image and the effect of the hoods and earmuffs is obviously very calculated. If this gesture is allowed to go unanswered, it will be a message of approval for the city of Portland and the Portland police. I've already called the mayor, the governor, and the members of the city council about this outrage. No one should be fooled by the lies and evasions. This fascist stunt is intended to intimidate and silence dissent. It comes in the context of the police department known to kill people like Kendra James and coddle people like the Max murderer. The PPD has dropped their role as public guardian altogether and is engaging in political theater, and so I ask you, will you let this stand as an act of fascist intimidation, or are you going to do something about it? Call in. 503-231-8187. Linda is on there. My opinion is that if you value a free society, you will make the PPD and the city of Portland and the mayor's office pay and pay and pay for this. Hello, Linda.
Hi. Teresa, can you tell us what organization sponsored the protest so we can look them up on Facebook?
The hashtag on Twitter, I'm not used to social media, you know that I should be at this point. The hashtag on Twitter, I'm going to have to think about that for a second.
Can give it to us later if you need to.
Yeah, if you look up my tweet at KBOO Press Watch, you will find reference to that hashtag.
Okay.
And that will get you the other social media. And if you go on Facebook and you look up Teresa Mitchell and Ani Haynes, if you look up Ani Raven Haynes, then you will find those posts, those shared posts, and you will see the picture.
Okay, great. Thank you. I wanted that. I wanted to say, you know, I had a show on yesterday on KBOO, and we talked about fascism. And I think that there's, you know, a lot of people who still don't want to believe that that word actually applies to the government that we're living in. But, you know, Sessions came to town, what was it, just over a week ago to tell the police here that he was not going to treat this as a sanctuary city. And then they also had announced it a couple weeks before that, the more militarization of the local police, the opening of the floodgates of more military equipment. And then you saw the 33 people who were done in a raid here, were arrested here while that was happening in other cities across the nation. And then the use of these, of the hoods and the earphones, those are specifically to create terror in the person inside that as well. They made people fly in cold planes from, Afghanistan to prisons elsewhere like that, locked down on the floor. This is federal tactics. It's fascist tactics. And we really do have to demand that the Portland police not participate with this. And I don't think that'll stop it, but we really need to. I mean,
there has to be a press.
If you have any question about what kind of society you're living in now, how many examples of this sort will we need to see? And how many other places around the nation is this happening right now, as a matter of fact? Because this has got to be coming out of the Homeland Security playbook.
I agree. This has to come with a price, because if it doesn't, I mean, if people came out to wear their pussy hats, and if people came out, and I was one of them, and I'm glad to have done it with all the problems that there were with that protest. If people are coming out against Trump and against fascism, then look at that picture and see what they're doing and understand the manipulation and fight this. You've got to fight this.
Do you know of any additional protests called yet?
I don't. I don't
okay.
yet. The hashtag was NoIcePDX, NoIcePDX.
Okay. Okay, great. I had thought I had heard that they have regular demonstrations there on Thursday morning, but I don't know if that's accurate or not. So maybe someone else can call in and feed us in on this, actually help us figure out how to be the assistance we want to be. Thank you, Teresa.
Thanks for calling in, Linda. I appreciate that. So again, I'm asking for your calls. I want to know what you think about this situation. The number to call, 503-231-8187. And what I'm talking about is protest yesterday against the racist detainment and deportations was suddenly turned into political theater by the Portland police, probably acting on federal guidelines, who hooded and earmuffed the detainees as they were chained on the ground to make them look like Guantanamo detainees. This is a grotesquely fascist act. It is. There's no mistake. The PD, the Portland Police Department, did come out with a completely lying statement claiming that the hoods were to protect against power tools. There were no power tools involved. This is a lie. Tin snips were used to cut the duct tape and plastic. What are you going to do? And Matt's on the air. Hello, Matt, are you there?
Car stereo, so I'm here now.
Okay.
Really, I'm like, just, that's new news to me, so I did not know that they were hooded and you said chained or something?
Well, they had chained each other, and the political theater, when I think about the photographs that I've seen, at that point, I'm not sure if they were handcuffed or they still had their hands in the sleeping dragon device. But they were hooded and earmuffed, and it was intended to look like Guantanamo detainees.
Just the whole entire way that illegal immigrants and immigrants are treated is just unacceptable.
Absolutely. And that was the point of their protest, and I certainly salute them for making that sacrifice. I don't know what the charges are yet. Usually the prosecutors like to take a few days before they apply the final charges. They like to think it over, I guess. So we'll find out soon what they were. But if you want to see that picture, look at the Portland Mercury, look in the some of the local press, and you will see these. This
sure
is intended to go
around.
Viral, this image of the hooded and earmuffed.
I mean, I just
almost said detainees.
I want to see, because that sounds pretty inhumane to myself. I mean,
well, and the whole reason that there are sleeping dragons is because of police tactics. I mean, police were getting pretty good at, and again, I'm not sure exactly who invented it, but I remember during the timber protest, the police were getting pretty good at snapping everyone up and ending the protest before the press could arrive. So sleeping dragons were invented. You know, those tubes, they can be concrete, they can be metal. You have your hands inside and your hands are connected.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine
that. You can handcuff each other or whatever you're going to do. And in this case, they were making the gesture of sleeping dragons more so than the actual physical imperviousness of those devices. It was just plastic and duct tape, and they cut them apart with tin snips.
When it comes to immigration, aren't all Americans illegal immigrants because we came here on a boat?
There's that hypocrisy as well.
That's the first thing that I go to.
Yeah, I hear you. And and for me, the first thing I go to is just the context and how wrong it is to force people here to work and then turn on them and say they're criminals. It's just so hypocritical.
Yeah, no way. ICE? What is ICE?
I'm sorry, I couldn't quite hear you. It was a little faint.
Organization ICE that deports
illegal Immigration immigrants? And Customs Enforcement. It's federal customs.
Okay. Now, I'm starting to catch on. Yeah.
And that building, one of the reasons there's protests there is because that building at McAdam and Bancroft in Southwest over by the river has... Well, it was very quietly set up. At first, it had, for years, it had no lettering on the outside indicating what it was. And I used to be a bus driver, and I drive the 35 route, and I could see that was some sort of creepy building because it had, I could see like 9 cameras around it. And it turns out, in fact, it is a dungeon, and people are kept in there without benefit of habeas corpus. Their illegal status...
Isn't there
all kinds of
organization besides ICE that also collects people? I think those big white vans that drive around and they take them to, I think, FEMA camps, and they're not allowed to leave.
I've followed the FEMA thing as carefully as I can. I can't say that I've looked into it for the last couple of years. There were large camps set up at one point, and every time I've checked, they're still empty, so I'm not... I can't say with absolute certainty, but I don't think that people are being snatched away at this point to FEMA camps. And if they are, then, well, the war's on.
Well, scary for me. Scary for us.
Yeah, really. Thanks for calling in.
All right, thank you.
Number to call, 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. I do want to tell you that... The U.S. government has been getting increasingly sophisticated in its capacity to manipulate beyond what Noam Chomsky refers to as manufactured consent. The state will also, and especially under Republican administrations, will engage in red herrings and various gotchas, and will put out false information that sounds right, sounds true, sounds like it's coming from a real source. You really have to check. And that's where I categorize the white vans in the FEMA camps at this point. That's something intended. The way it works is it gets spread around, and then it turns out to be untrue and discredits whoever spread it. So be careful. Check your sources. Really, it's not too hard in the internet age. See what you can really find out. Find corroboration. What I do is I use national, international sources, and I'm not doing that, the truth is somewhere in the middle thing. What I'm doing is assuming that press, that journalists act within their culture, within what they view as acceptable and what rewards them. I assume that journalists act and editors act in the culture that rewards them to act in certain ways. So I trust RT, for example, to report on certain issues in certain places, and I distrust them on other issues. I trust the BBC to report on certain issues, and I distrust them on other issues, and I could say that for so many press sources. That number again, 503-231-8187, and Chris is on the air.
Hi. Yeah. It seems to me that this kind of thing starts happening when immigrants and minorities actually start to acquire some real wealth and some real power, when they start to succeed. That's when this kind of backlash and anger comes out. You know, they start, and the other point is, we can't have Oregon going the way of Arizona. And it sounds, from what you're saying, like we're heading that way with Sheriff, whatever his name was.
Arpaio?
Yeah, exactly. We cannot allow that here.
Well, I think you're right. And I think that there is going to have to be a broad public gesture against this, starting with calling the mayor, who is also the commissioner of police, unless things have changed. That's Ted Wheeler, 503-823-4120, if you wanted to know. And I have already called him. A lot of people have been calling the mayor and the city council each. I've been told that works best when each member of the city council is also called. Once again, in this internet age, that's easy enough to find.
Right.
But I think I like the way that you brought up the context. This is happening in the Trump context. And so what's the Trump context? Most recently, the most recent dog whistle is Pence walking out on that perfectly peaceful, respectful protest, taking a knee. Oh, my God, they're taking a knee. I mean, how...
Exactly.
How can you object to that? You know, it looks respectful, for God's sake. It looks ultra respectful. It's like they're getting ready to be knighted or something. And how can you object to that? And the only reason they object to that is to object to blackness, for God's sake.
It was textbook respect and peaceful protest.
Yeah.
And demanding absolute respect and adoration of symbols is fascist, no doubt.
Kaepernick's going to go down in history.
Yeah.
As okay, a liberator.
I gotta go.
Thanks for calling. Bye. Number to call, 503-231-8187. And here's the deal. In case, this is the internet media age. People tune in and out to broadcast radio. I'm aware that more people are now listening online than were listening ever on transmitted, on our transmitter. And yet, the two together are a very important synergy. And, I want to thank those of you who contributed in our last pledge drive. I think with this, you can see how immediate community radio is, live community radio, something that's done right here, something that's not distributed, but actually done by people who care, by everyone who cares, right here in Portland, done by Rock, who's engineering right now and doing a fantastic job. Rock, who always reminds me of the names that drop right out of my head because of my autism. But This is your radio, and when I was at the protest, actually, I noticed that a lot of the people who were motivated enough and educated enough and were moving forward with that protest, people who I really admire, had no idea what this radio station is, and we still have a boutique status. So I urge you, tag this radio station on social media. Talk to somebody. Think of someone right now, please. There's someone you know who doesn't know this existed, who doesn't know that KBOO exists, who would benefit from the feeling of solidarity and community that you get from listening to live radio, as I said, from people who actually care. Who is that person? Will you contact that person now? Will you contact them today? Will you contact them on social media or text them or something and tell them that KBOO exists, because we have to push back against the incredible wealth of corporate media just to be even known that we exist. All the rest is even more of a push. But we need that. We need that word of mouth, and it's got to be you. So the number to call, 503-231-8187. Eugene's on the air.
Hello?
Hi, Eugene.
How are you doing, Teresa?
Well, I'm doing well.
Excellent. I'd like to point out that the hooding and headphoning of the protesters during their arrest is actually a form of torture. It's called sensory deprivation torture, which in part was perfected by John Zubek at a university in Canada that I forget what it was called, what university in Canada it was at the time. But his work in sensory deprivation torture was used by the Brits against the Irish back in the 70s, as well as I've noticed that these techniques were also used by the U.S. in Afghanistan and Iraq, and who knows where elsewhere. But seems to me that this is a normalization of torture in public. So it's allowing the state facilities like the police and ICE and everything else to actually use torture publicly and get away with it. And this should be, in my opinion, taken to the highest courts of all, and the police should be held accountable for this, what is obviously a crime.
Yeah, political theater by the police, and worse, fascist political theater. This is almost as ugly as it gets. I mean, it's not as ugly as killing people of color, you know, right the very at the point of it. But the gesture, the intent, is to create fascist society. This little piece of theater that they have done is an attempt to criminalize dissent, as you were saying, and just use torture to intimidate the entire population. And so I'm warning, we cannot let this stand. Absolutely cannot let this stand.
Yeah, and I've even emailed Tom Wheeler these exact points that I just made here as well.
Mayor Ted Wheeler?
Yeah.
Awesome.
So,
you can get their emails online as well.
Yeah, this has to go all the way to the Supreme Court, in my opinion. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I want to know. I want to know what the mayor has to say about this. I would like to know if he knew of it in advance.
Yeah. Yeah, and if that's the case, that also makes him complicit in it.
Yeah.
Which is also a crime.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, who are they? Are they just going to intimidate the society now? Are we just going to give up on social discourse? This is a perfectly, I mean, the worst thing that could have happened to the ICE guards was a delay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is just a gesture. And so the police have come out with their gesture. But they're a police department. They're not supposed to be protesting. They're not supposed to be doing political theater. This is extremely ugly. Hey, thanks for calling in, Eugene. It's really nice to hear your voice.
It's good to hear yours, too.
All right.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Number to call, 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. Ted Wheeler is at 503-823-4120. Call also Amanda Fritz, Nick Fish, Dan Saltzman, Chloe Udalli. Call Jeff Merkley, Senator. Call the governor. Call Kate Brown. Call the Office of Equity and Human Rights, 503-823-4120. 4433, and Lars is on the air.
Hi, Teresa. Thanks for taking my call. So I've actually been listening for a long time and really appreciate your show, really appreciate you keeping the airwaves open, and I really like what you said about community, this radio station, how it, you know, creates a community around it, a conversation. And I feel like a lot of these issues that we're looking at are things were, you know, especially in the last couple years, were really, or last year, I guess, really being directed by the media, really being directed by other elements in our society that are dominating the conversation, dominating like the trajectory of our society. And I think it's time that we start to think a little bit bigger about like forming our own systems that aren't as dependent on the existing structures. I think a lot of that's happening in technology with like collaborative consumption and, you know, social networking. Some of that's starting to happen. It's, you know, dominated primarily on a corporate level. And so on a community basis, I think we're learning these technologies of ways to connect with individuals and form community and form systems that work, that don't involve government, don't involve, you know, the existing corporate structure. So I'm just a really strong proponent of us creating those systems. You know, KBOO and community radio is a really strong, like, foundation. But it's just one example, and I think we need a lot more examples of community-based structures that, you know, work with all individuals, can incorporate everybody in our society into the conversation, and a group of people that's respectful of the earth as well, that are thinking long-term over the next 50 years to really, you know, reverse this catastrophic damage that's being done to our planet.
Couldn't agree more.
So I have a structure that I called your show back during the summer solstice. Didn't really get a chance to talk to you about it, but so I've created an alternative calendar system based on the seasons. Actually, in a 6-day cycle, it's a calendar for the next 50 years for the planetary era.
You're a thinker. And so is this a rotary sort of calendar or?
Yes, it is. Yeah, it forms it in a rotary shape. It uses the flower of life as like the central rotation of the days within a week, and then reveals these spheres within that. So it's a geometric pattern. It's a symbol of time to help comprehend time and our place in our yearly cycle, and helping to really understand reality. We need to learn to work with nature.
Very like the indigenous Mesoamerican rotary calendars.
I'm sorry?
Very like the indigenous Mesoamerican rotary calendars, the Aztec calendar.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, there's some information that's been taken from that and incorporated into it. But it tries to look at the whole Earth. It's kind of a planetary whole calendar. It's called the Earthrise seasonal calendar.
Okay, well, give a URL for that. We'll go back to
thank you.
The calls about the...
Yeah, it's earthrise.cloud.
Earthrise.cloud. Okay, thanks for sharing that.
Yeah. Thanks, Teresa.
Thanks for calling in. Number to call, 503-231-8187. And here's the deal. I'm talking about the political theater that the Portland police have participated in. I'm not sure if they came up with it themselves. It seems like a federal action. I guess we'll find out if other police departments do the same sort of thing. But they have, they went to peaceful, ordinary protest that was protesting the racist deportations at the ICE dungeon that is operated by GEO over at Southwest McAdam and Bancroft, or by the old spaghetti factory. And they used that protest for political theater. They put Guantanamo hoods and Guantanamo earmuffs over the protesters. So they would be photographed in that costume by the press. This is an ugly fascist gesture. It is entirely, as I was saying, inappropriate for the police to engage in political theater. They lied about it. They said that the hoods were for protection from sparks and the earmuffs were protection from noise. They were lying. There was no concrete to cut. There were no chains to cut. It was duct tape and plastic, and they cut it with tin snips. They're lying. They're lying. They're lying. The Portland Police Department lies. Police lie. And they have created this, and I'm sure it's going viral as it was intended to do, but I'm here to change the narrative. I'm here to let you know with absolute certainty that there were no power tools, that their excuse is just an excuse, and that they are trying to visually, deeply manipulate. This is why I think it comes out of a federal agency. Someone really thought this through. It's not that the Portland police can't think these things through. It's just that they don't have as much of a motivation. They're busy. So I think this probably came from JTTF or somewhere in the Trump administration. They really wanted protesters to look like dangerous terrorists. And so they costumed them. They costumed them like Guantanamo detainees. And that's what I want you to call about. The number to call, 503-231 8187. Ted Wheeler's number is 823-4120. These are going to be in the 503 area code. 823-4120 for the mayor's office. Amanda Fritz, 823-3008. Amanda Fritz, 823-3008. All of these are in the 503. Nick Fish, I don't have his number. Maybe someone can help me with that. Dan Saltzman, 503-823-4151. Dan Saltzman, 823-4151. Chloe Udali, 823-4682. 823-4682. Senator Jeff Merkley, 326-3386. Jeff Merkley, 326-3386. Are you going to let the country, Portland, and the Portland police turn to utter fascism using this incident? The governor's office, 378-4582. All of these in the 503 area code, 378-4582. Now, the number to call here, I want to hear from you live on the air. Be brave. Tell me what you think of this. 503-231-8187. And Cornelius is on the air. Cornelius is on the air. Hi.
Hi, Teresa. How you doing?
Doing well. Yourself?
Doing all right, thanks. Well, what I'm curious about is, since there were actual arrests made, would there also be part of the record the officers that made the arrests, and therefore the officers that would have made the action of placing these hoods and earmuffs on the individuals? And basically, if we were able to zero in on the individuals that took this action, and rather than trying to take on the police or the mayor's office, you know, these institutions that seem larger than life sometimes, if we're able to key down to the individuals and say, you made the choice to take this action and it was wrong, and key in on that, so that then maybe the other officers in future incidents might think, hey, you know, these guys were thrown to the wolves because they did this. Because that's what's going to happen. If anything does come down to it, the individuals that took place are going to be the ones that get the penalties, not the institutions as a whole.
Well, interesting that you bring that up. I think I see where you're coming from. We do need to know the names of the officers who, as the press release from the Portland Police Department said, were specially trained. This means that, of course, they were trained by, presumably, the police department. We don't know who trained them, but it's not a matter of rogue officers. I mean, they had the equipment in advance, and I saw the triple chevrons of the police sergeant standing right next to them. So this is definitely an institutional action. That's why I'm calling out the Portland police generally on it for now. And we need to know who participated in that and who thought that this act of political theater by a municipal police department was okay. And I want to know what the mayor has to say about that, and the city council, too, and what kind of city they're running these days if they're engaging in this sort of tomfoolery. But it's more than tomfoolery. It's an act of fascist intimidation. So
And then it also goes into the arena of perjury. You know, if they're going to say that, you know, these things were put on for protection of the individuals while we used power tools, but no power tools were used, there's also perjury in that place there in the arrest.
Well, a police statement is not a sworn statement in court, so the actual word perjury doesn't apply. But yeah, they're lying, and I should think that it would dampen their credibility from now on just how badly they were lying to be out there with tin snips and claiming that they had to protect people from sparks.
Correct. Yeah, well, just kind of thinking maybe something from the bottom up rather than top down.
I like it. I like it.
Have some results as well.
I like that. Thanks for calling in. Number to call, 503-231-8187. And I am frankly trying to generate your outrage. I want to push your eyeballs to those pictures, which you can find on social media, which you can find on Portland Media. Mercury, I was saying, I think it's probably up on the Oregonian, probably on KETU, but you need to look at these hoods and earmuffs and understand that this is political theater. The police are doing this. This is intended to intimidate, and that their statement that it was for protection is an obvious and easily dismissed lie. Once again, that number, 503 231-8187, and Bones is on the air.
Hey, Teresa.
Hey.
Hi, I love your program. It's always eye-opening, and I just wanted to point out that we have a new police chief.
That's right, Ms. Outlaw is her name.
Yes, I just wanted to make that point.
Okay, all right. Thanks for making that point. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187, and Gary's on the air.
Let me take the speaker off. Hold on.
All right, then.
Teresa, you're there?
I am here.
Okay, this is Gary. And what I'd like to talk to is to ask KBOO if they would put something on the air concerning the social media to renew the fairness doctrine and re-regulate the FCC, because I think that most of the media that's going out there on the social media, like 95% of it, is all right-winged. What the fairness doctrine did was to give a 50-50 balance. When you do that, people can make a better decision on who they vote for, what they think, etc. What do you think?
Yeah, I like that.
Okay. That's why I called.
Okay. Thanks for that comment.
Thank you.
Once again, the number to call, 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. And I'm asking for your calls because the Portland police have thrown hoods and sound-blocking earmuffs over the heads of peaceful protesters, arresting three of those, and another person arrested apparently just because he was taking pictures. Don't know the details. If you've seen the pictures, you know that this scene has been rigged to appear as if it were an extension of Guantanamo Bay's infamous prison. Now, this is the news you're not supposed to know on KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell, and there are some other stories you need to be aware of, one of them is that it would appear the president is pushing hard for a war with North Korea. From The Independent in the UK, North Korea's foreign minister has accused President Donald Trump of having lit the wick of a war between his country and the U.S., saying that America would be made to pay with a hail of fire. Tensions between the U.S. and North Korea have intensified in recent months as the Trump administration has struggled to rein in Kim Jong-un's expanding nuclear and ballistic weapons program alongside international allies. The words of Ri Yong-ho are the latest episode of increasingly hostile barbs being traded between Mr. Trump and the regime in Pyongyang. Russia's TASS news agency quoted Mr. Ri as saying, "With his bellicose and insane statement at the United Nations, Trump, you can say, has lit the wick of a war against us. We need to settle a final score only with a hail of fire, not words," end quote. During an address to the United Nations General Assembly, Mr. Trump declared the U.S. would totally destroy North Korea if forced to defend itself or its allies. The president added that while the U.S. has great strength and patience, its options for dealing with the isolated nation could soon run out. Trump mocked North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, referring to him as Little Rocket Man. And one of the more recent pieces of news is that Jimmy Carter is once again offering to hold peace talks with North Korea. And Jimmy Carter, a lot of people don't know, stopped war with North Korea, which was going to come down in 93, 24 years ago. And Jimmy Carter was there and pushed through and actually got a deal and stopped that confrontation. And the Trump administration is not happy about it. And at the time, the Bush administration was not happy about Carter doing that. But, you know, it beats the hell out of a war, doesn't it? I should hope. A war that you and I would surely pay wretchedly for. Aside from the fact that it would, you know, just slaughter people by the hundreds of thousands in Korea. Why is it okay to consider the slaughter of Koreans? Are they not people? There is news, if you look, from Yemen. In Yemen, the spread of the cholera outbreak has surpassed Haiti as the biggest since modern records began in 1949. Save the Children organization has warned that at the current rate of infection, 815,000 cases of cholera in Haiti has been exceeded. It's going to reach 1 million before the turn of the year, 60% of which will be among children, who, as I was mentioning last week, die very quickly from the disease. The International Committee of the Red Cross predicted there would be 600,000 suspected cholera cases in the country by the end of the year. Tamer Kirolos, Save the Children's country director for Yemen, said the outbreak of this scale and speed is what you get when a country is brought to its knees by conflict, when a healthcare system is on the brink of collapse, when its children are starving, and when its people are blocked from getting the medical treatment they need. And as I was saying last week, this is a U.S. war. This is a sneaky-ass Vietnam war. And we're complicit. We cannot be ignorant of this. We cannot be... And white person speaking to white people. We cannot be ignorant of the war that we conduct against our own people of color. You know, I'm talking about torture. I'm very conscious that I'm talking about torture being conducted against mostly white protesters, tortures. The torture chair in the Portland jail famously has been used mostly against people of color. Number to call with your comments and questions. And I am asking you to mostly comment on this fascist gesture by the Portland police acting at who knows whose behest of hooding and earmuffing the peaceful protesters at the Portland ICE Detention Center. 503-231-8187 and stands on the air.
Hello, Teresa. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. I'm a little punchy because this upset me when I saw it last night and I couldn't sleep well, so I'm stumbling.
Well, I'm an old man and I've never protested. I've never called in. I'll listen faithfully, though. You're right. This is upsetting. It touches on a bunch of subjects, and I'm just going to start with two of them.
All right.
We got a new police chief in Portland. Is this the way she's going to conduct business?
Yeah, that's a good question. Is this her gig? Where's this coming from?
The second one is the people got to wake up. How much more stuff can we take? And I'm reminded of the old saying, when they came for the Jews, I didn't do nothing because it wasn't me. You know?
Yeah.
When is it going to be me?
Well, evidently now.
Yeah, I'm looking at the mainstream news, KGW, KATU, all the rest of them, to see where their coverage was. I listened to OPB starting at 3 o'clock in the morning. I didn't hear anything about this at all. If I hadn't listened to you this morning, I would have known anything about it at all. As soon as I get off the phone with you, I'm getting on the phone to the mayor. I'm going to find out who my city council person is. I get newsletters from Merkley. I get newsletters from Wyden. I'm going to start sending some newsletters, you know?
Awesome.
I asked Mr. Wyden his thoughts on divest. Help me out here. Divest, well, BDS. Boycott, divest.
Oh, boycott, divest, and sanctions, yeah. Oh, the BDS, yes, the criminalization of dissent is really rolling forward under the Trump administration. And the
this was a month ago. I got a note that said, I'll get back to you. Well, guess what? The next time he's in town, he's going to have to get back to me because I'll be in his face. These people work for us. It's about time they start showing some respect and get some answers from them. Yes, I'm hot.
Yeah, right on. Well, I think that you should be. I think, you know, this just kind of brought it all together for me in a way that was shocking.
Like I said, I'm 61 years old. You know, the civil rights actions happened when I was a teenager. I was too busy doing other stuff. I'm thinking somebody marched for me. I'm going to go march for somebody.
Right on.
To hope other old folks who ain't got nothing else to do all day come out and march too.
Yeah, well, that's going to include me.
We can't leave this kind of crap to our kids and our grandkids.
I think you're absolutely right.
All right, I'm done venting. Thank you for letting me call.
Well, thank you so much for calling in. And yeah, that's exactly what I wanted to hear.
You're my first one, Teresa.
All right. Well, at 10 o'clock, we're going to have Eric Cascadia, Chris Andre, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, it's going to be Flashpoints on Dennis Bernstein here on KBOO Portland. At 11 o'clock, between the covers, David Naiman talks to author Celeste Ng about her new novel, Little Fires Everywhere, a story set in suburban 90s America that deals with questions of race, the comfort of privilege, and parenting. At 11:30, it's going to be Words and Pictures, conversations with pioneering animators and comic artists. Yeah, KBOO keeps you informed, and you can get involved. Go to kboo.fm and click on Donate, won't you, to become a member now. I think if you've been listening, then you know how essential community radio is in a case like this. This gesture, this political theater that I've been talking about yesterday, is intended to go viral on the net. It's not really intended to be talked about directly. The way it works is they make the visual gesture, and that's what sticks in your mind. The visual gesture was, in case you hadn't heard before, putting hoods and earmuffs on the detainees as they sat chained together in order to costume them, to make them look like Guantanamo detainees. And it's the Portland police that did this. It's the Portland police that engaged in this political theater. And knowing that it would go viral on the net, and then here's part of the strategy. The strategy is to come up with an excuse so that people who want to believe that it's okay can believe that it's okay. You know, this is the white people excuse. And the white people excuse is that, oh, the hoods were just to protect them from the sparks of the cutting equipment, from those sleeping dragon cylinders, and the earmuffs are just to protect them from the noise, as if the police ever gave a damn when they were shooting us with lead pellet bags during protests or pepper spraying our children. Been protesting for a long time. I know what a hokey excuse that is, and the fact is there was no cutting equipment used because it wouldn't have worked. It was duct tape and plastic. They used tin snips. They're lying. Portland police lying to make political theater. Now think about this. Your police department is making political theater, and as I was saying, the way it works is it goes viral on the net. You see the pictures. You're afraid. You're supposed to be afraid, and you're not supposed to know the details, and you're supposed to think that their denial is plausible. And so I'm here on community radio trying to slap down this attempt, and I'm asking you to call in with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187, and Barbara is on the air.
Hello, Teresa.
Hello.
Thank you for the story. I feel that not only political theater and to create a view of these protesters, but I think it was a tactic of terror on the protesters to eliminate their hearing and their eyesight.
Yeah, absolutely. This is torture. That's what sensory deprivation has always been for, is to scare the hell out of you. You can't see what's going on. You don't know what's going to hit you next, and you can't even hear. And so they put on the earmuffs too.
Right. So this is most appalling, and I'll be using all the phone numbers you gave out today, and thank you.
Thanks for calling in.
You bet.
As I was saying, this is the news you're not supposed to know, and there are many stories today. As I was saying, Yemen is being kept out of the press. But also, you're getting BS about Venezuela, which has been targeted by the jackals. You've heard about that. Perhaps if you're a longtime KBOO listener, then you know about the jackals and how they go around the U.S. State Department team that goes around and enforces, for example, the embargo against Cuba. This is being done against Venezuela, and they're getting massive inflation because of this. The country is really being made to scream, as Henry Kissinger said, of Chile way back when. And, well, for example, here's the Washington Post talking about Venezuela. Venezuelans go to the polls this Sunday in state elections seen as a test of President Nicolas Maduro's willingness to share power, but with polls showing the ruling socialists at risk of landslide losses, the authoritarian government appears to be falling back on a trifecta of tactics, manipulation, confusion, and fear. And 2.5 months after the creation of a super Congress that gave the government nearly absolute power, Maduro has called the vote for state governors clear evidence that yada, yada, yada. And so if you turn to Venezuela analysis, which is like the word Venezuela with analysis stuck on it, Venezuela analysis, you can find this. Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro announced Sunday that his government is close to reaching a deal with the country's right-wing opposition. He said, "We are 95% of the way there in reaching an accord with the political opposition. The document is being written and it's 95% complete. Next week, I hope to return to the dialogue table with the opposition as we have agreed," end quote. Maduro did not offer further details, and the opposition has yet to issue a public response. Internationally mediated talks between the leftist government and the main opposition coalition, and speaking for myself, this is the bourgeois section of Caracas that has been in coordination and traitorous collaboration with the coup attempts coming from the United States, the Democratic Unity Roundtable, people who have betrayed their own country on behalf of the hope for wealth in the U.S. began September 13th in Santo Domingo. Got one last call, and it's Walter.
Hello?
Hello, Walter.
Hi, Teresa. Just take a second. I just wanted to let you know that you inspired me to get up off my butt and call my senators about this. And I urge everyone that has heard this today to do something to call somebody. And thanks a lot, Teresa.
Well, you're welcome. So just to double down, and thank you very much for calling in. And just to double down, here's what it's about. Portland police has, in a case of political theater, has thrown hoods and sound-blocking earmuffs, costuming protesters yesterday at the protesting the U.S. racist detention and deportation policies. And it's intended that you not pay attention, that you believe their lie, that these hoods and earmuffs were necessary. They were not. They used tin snips on the plastic and duct tape to separate the protesters. You're intended to be scared by this shadow puppet. Don't be afraid. Confront it. Be a citizen, not a consumer. You've been listening to Press Watch. I see that Chris Andre is ready and raring to go at top of the hour, so stay tuned to KBOO Portland, getting out to you in Cascadia via 90.7 and other frequencies, getting out to you on the World Wide Web, KBOO.fm, out to all the ships at sea.
Yes, good morning, and thank you for listening to your community radio, KBOO Portland. Air Cascadia is up next with headlines, interviews, and commentary. Your host, Chris Andre, coming right up.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Calling Home the Dead on Thursday, October 19th at the Clinton Street Theater in Portland. Calling Home the Dead is a fundraiser for Vaz and KBOO Community Radio that includes music, dancing, a procession of cachinas y cachinas, and delicious Dia de los Muertos pastries and horchata. The film, Calling Home the Dead, will also be screened, showing the Dia de los Muertos traditions of the towns that surround Lake Pátzcuaro in Mexico. Again, that's Calling Home the Dead on Thursday, October 19th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, Cascade.